Music of Esther Phillips from her performance album, I Feel the Same, a Chris Smither tune. Chicago before that from Chicago 6. And Darling Dear, Melissa Manchester with Too Many People from her latest album. And Davy Blue from the latest Herbie Mann album, The Family of Man, First Light, that's the name of it. Knew it was something like that. 25 minutes after 1 o'clock. This is KQRS in Golden Valley. Temperature is 10 degrees outside, and I think that's up 1 degree from the last hour. Skies are still cloudy, and if you're thinking about doing something tonight or tomorrow night, you might want to check out the KQ Plitt Theater Midnight to Dawn Ape Inn. I guess they're calling it an Ape Inn now. Four area Plitt theaters will be showing the KQ Ape Inn tonight and tomorrow night at midnight. The three movies are going to be shown, and they're full feature-length films: Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, Battle for the Planet of the Apes, and Escape from the Planet of the Apes. And they'll be shown at the Skyway 1 in downtown Minneapolis, the North Star in downtown St. Paul, the Plaza in Maplewood, and the Plitt Brookdale Theater in Brooklyn Center. Those are the normal theaters that are always, our movies are always shown at, I guess. Tickets are $2 per person because of the length of the show. Three shows. It'll probably last until about 4:30. So, why don't you check it out? Three full-length feature films. What better way to spend your Valentine's Day with your loved one than going to an ape movie? How about it? Should be pretty crazy. A mind-blower. And you can pick up your tickets right before the show. It might be a good idea to get there a little early. But it doesn't really matter because the box offices will be open until 2 o'clock each morning to accommodate the thousands of people that are going to be showing up. So show starts at midnight sharp, and why don't you check it out? The Planet of the Apes Marathon tonight and tomorrow night at four area Plitt theaters. Sponsored by the Plitt Theaters and KQRS Radio.
Pretend you're a stereo store.
Sound of music.
Remember the Embers? Well, Embers is not only the perfect place for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, it's also the place to go after. So for good food mixed with good fun, remember the Embers.
John McLaughlin, that's from the album Inner Mounting Flame, the Mahavishnu Orchestra. Before that, Frank Zappa with Penguin in Bondage, Boing, 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 and Midnight Rider from Greg Allman, his album Laid Back. It's 15 before 2, this is KQRS, and a couple things are going on this weekend we'd like to tell you about. Jazz and books, I guess two very enlightening subjects. There'll be a concert of fine Dixieland music provided by the Upper Mississippi Jazz Band, Sunday at 3 o'clock at Benilde St. Margaret's High School. That's on Highway 100, just south of here, a little ways, south of KQRS on Highway 100. Admission is $2 for adults, $1.50 for students, and tickets can be purchased at the door. If you'd like to get tickets early, that you can also get them at the band office, because the band is putting on the concert. Upper Mississippi Jazz Band, they do some good music. Also, two faculty members of the College of St. Catherine will lead bands at a jazz celebration taking place at 8 o'clock on Sunday in O'Shaughnessy Auditorium at the College of St. Catherine. So if you'd like to see both of those, you can go see both of them. One's at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's the one at Benilde. And the other one is at 8 o'clock at night. The one at College of St. Catherine at 8 o'clock is free. And the one at Benilde you have to pay for, but not too much. And there'll be some good music at both. Several hundred used books are going to be sold at bargain prices at a sale this Saturday at the Rockford Road Community Library. That's at 6401 42nd Avenue North in Crystal from 10 until 4 during the day. If you'd like more information, call 533-5010, 533-5010. And the Lake Elmo Free Yoga Library is a resource center devoted to yoga philosophy and Eastern thought. The books and pamphlets, which involve the teachings of many groups and religions, are available free of charge. And they have even taped lectures available for you to check out. Library is set up as a non-profit organization supported by free will donations. If you can help them out, that would be great. But if not, and you'd just like to learn some things, why don't you check them out? They're located at 3479 Lake Elmo Avenue North, and they're open from 2 to 7 Wednesdays, 2 to 7 p.m. If you'd like more information, the number is 777-2939, Lake Elmo Free Yoga Library. Maybe you could get enlightened and think about tears. You don't know what I'm talking about, do you? Well, anyway, I'd like to talk about KQ Scope. There should be a really good program on this Sunday night at 10 o'clock, KQ Scope. If you're into sexuality at all, and if you're over 12 years old or something like that, you probably are, this Sunday's program may interest you a little bit. Bill Tilton is our host, and the two guests will be Mary Briggs and Dr. Rick Chilgren. They're co-founders of the program in human sexuality at the University of Minnesota Medical School and internationally noted as authorities in the field of sexual conditioning and education. They'll be on the air to answer any questions you might have on sex-related problems or to discuss sexuality, sexual health, and contemporary attitudes and values. There's a lot to be covered there. That program could probably go about 3 hours, and they're would still be phone calls, but it'll probably be about an hour or an hour and a half. So why don't you tune in? The program host is Bill Tilton, as I said, and as usual, he will answer your phone call and try to get your question answered or your comment understood. Okay, that's this Sunday, February 16th at 10 o'clock on KQ Scope. It should be a good program. It's 11 minutes before 2. This is Jethro Tull. First album, it's called Just That Wind. Before that, we heard from the new Al Stewart album called Modern Times. Apple Cider Reconstitution was the name of the song, and Mother Goose from Jethro Tull, who will be in town next Monday night, and that should be dynamite. Anybody I've ever talked to has said that Jethro Tull puts on a good concert, so I wasn't paid to say that or anything. I just heard it. I've heard it from a lot of people, so I'm probably going to make it there. Should be a good concert. I always say that should be a good concert. I wonder if anybody gets tired of me saying that. But if they're not, you'll know it, okay? But I think they will be. It's 4 minutes after 2 o'clock. This is KQRS AM and FM stereo from Golden Valley, and in my wanderings, I've come across some fairly interesting news to lay on you tonight or this morning. Arab oil dollars are now being used to force boycotts against numerous Jewish-owned businesses and banking institutions in Europe. In London, the banking center of the European Common Market, the Kleinwort Benson Investment Bank, one of London's biggest, announced this week that it would exclude two Jewish-owned banks from participating in an international finance project. The bank conceded that the exclusion of the Jewish banks was the result of pressure from Arab interests who refused to do business with Jews. There are believed to be about 24 victims of the Arab boycott in Europe, mostly in France and England. The Lazard Frères Bank in Paris, one of Europe's largest, was also excluded from participating in a state loan program this week because of Arab involvement. The Jewish-owned institutions say they will attempt to form a united front to deal with that boycott. And on a lighter note, a form of musical chairs took place in Jerusalem when Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin didn't know what to do with his dinner guest, Secretary of State Henry Kissinger. The result was jockeying for seats. As photographers watched in amusement, Rabin and his top cabinet officers shifted places before a seating arrangement was found. Kissinger smiled during the shuffle but didn't offer any suggestions. The end result? The Americans and Israelis finally sat down on opposite sides of the table. Delegates from the Organization of African Unity meeting in Addis Ababa. Say Ethiopia faces a possible diplomatic rebuff. This would come from African states that object to alleged repression by the Ethiopian military government in its battle with the secessionist province of Eritrea. White House News Secretary Ron Nissen reports that a bipartisan Senate House delegation will leave for South Vietnam and Cambodia within a couple of weeks. The inspection tour was suggested by President Ford, who said it would perhaps give them a more realistic view to the needs of the two countries and the proper United States role in that region. Well, we've got some energy news, I guess. An administration official. No, we'll get on to that in a minute. We want to do some other news. Jimmy Carter, who is a former governor of Georgia, has ended 3 days of marathon campaigning in New Hampshire. He's been trying to line up support among Democrats for his 1976 presidential bid there. U.S. Attorney James Thompson has announced the indictment of the chairman of the Cook County, Illinois Republican Party. Two other county officials have been indicted in the same case. Thompson says the three Illinois officials were indicted on various charges, which ranged from extortion to income tax violations. Thompson says the indictments were part of a year-long investigation that is still continuing. The three men are identified as 54-year-old Floyd Fully, the GOP chairperson, 54-year-old Charles Bonk, a Democratic county commissioner, and a 45-year-old Bernard O'Brien, who's a county zoning administrator. Former President Nixon's news secretary said yesterday Nixon called President Ford last weekend to assure him that he never doubted his ability to be president. Will Richard never give up? Ron Ziegler said Nixon's call was prompted by a public statement last week that by former presidential counsel Charles Colson that Nixon delayed resigning from the presidency because of doubts about Ford's ability to take over. Ziegler said Nixon told him that he had called President Ford to say that at no time did he doubt his abilities. Ziegler added in a broadcast interview on NBC Today Show that Nixon believes Ford has taken hold of the office and is doing a good job. Colson had said that Nixon was particularly concerned about Ford's ability to handle Secretary of State Kissinger, who Nixon allegedly characterized as instable at times. Ziegler said Nixon also instable. Ziegler said Nixon also called Kissinger last Sunday to wish him well on his latest trip to the Middle East. Ziegler said Nixon has great respect for Kissinger. During the lengthy interview with NBC's Jim Hartz, Ron Ziegler denied that former President Nixon is planning to get back into political life. Republican Senator Barry Goldwater of Arizona, remember him, big glasses, H-bombs, had said recently that Nixon told him he would like to return to a role in the Republican Party or as possibly ambassador to China. Ziegler characterized President Ford's pardon of Nixon as an important act of compassion and good for the national well-being. Ziegler said, I think former President Nixon has suffered beyond, in human terms, what anyone should be expected to suffer. Ziegler said he sometimes has regrets about the way he handled the job of news secretary during Nixon's presidency. He said, "We conducted probably the worst public relations and press program in the history of the United States in the way we handled Watergate." But he added that much of the blame was the lack of information he often had to work with in making statements on Watergate. Asked about the abrupt cancellation of a paid lecture at Boston University, Ziegler said, "I recognize that I'm not the most popular figure on the college campus today," but he added that he intends to pursue a limited schedule of lectures on college campuses this spring and more, possibly next fall. From Earth News, some Texas legislators have announced plans to abolish that state's so-called Special Rangers category of lawmen. The Special Rangers differ from the Texas Rangers in that they receive no standard training and are not on the public payroll. They're employed by private businesses for security reasons, but are otherwise given all the authority of the public police. Under Texas law, the Special Rangers are able to make arrests, use firearms, and to inspect confidential police records. The Special Rangers now number about 300. According to a 1974 study, 60 were employed by railroads, 55 worked for large ranchers, 40 were employed by oil companies, and a dozen worked for private utilities, including 9 on the payroll of Southwestern Bell, and we'll get to that story in a minute. According to the legislators, the Special Rangers constitute a private police force answerable only to the Public Safety Commissioner, the governor, and their employers. And that story about Southwestern Bell, there's another development in the Southwestern Bell probe from Earth News. What was billed as a thorough state investigation of the Southwestern Bell Telephone Company in Missouri has turned out to be little more than a spot check. Missouri Public Service Commissioner Al Lubering testified at a Bell rate hike hearing that his team of investigators could find no evidence of any illegal political contributions by that company. But under cross-examination by consumer advocates who had called for the probe in the first place, the state investigator conceded that his agents checked only campaign expense reports filed with the Secretary of State. Under Missouri law, many kinds of campaign reports are filed only with the county and not with the Secretary of State. Lubering went on to admit that no records were checked with any of Missouri's 114 counties or with the independent city governments of St. Louis or Kansas City. Lubering also admitted that his investigation was done on the premise that, in his words, people are basically honest. Southwestern Bell is currently under investigation by various government agencies for alleged illegal campaign funding and also wiretapping of private citizens. Responding to the allegations this week, Southwestern Bell President Zane Barnes declared, "Ma Bell has not turned into Ma Barker." Story from Earth News. And now we'll get to President Ford's energy things. An administration official predicts that President Ford's energy program will increase the price of gasoline by as much as 20 cents a gallon. Means you'll be paying about 45, 46, 47, maybe anywhere up to 70 cents a gallon for a gallon of gas. Prediction was made Thursday by Interior Secretary Rogers Morton, who's in Miami to promote Ford's energy program. And that's promoting it. The forecast was given in an interview with the Miami Herald, and Morton said that the price would begin rising in April, reaching 70 to 75 cents a gallon after July 1st. He said the price will be higher if the tariff on imported oil is raised to $3 a barrel, as Ford has proposed. And that kind of is supplemented, I guess, by the Minnesota House Transportation Committee, which yesterday approved a measure that would increase the gasoline tax in Minnesota by 2 cents per gallon. So any raise by the federal government, you can add about 2 cents from the Minnesota state government. The next test comes Wednesday when the Senate Transportation Committee votes on the companion bill. Under the proposal, the state tax on gasoline and diesel fuel would climb to 9 cents per gallon from 7 on July 1st. The bill's sponsor, Representative Al Patton of Sartell, Minnesota, said highway construction and maintenance costs have increased dramatically since the gas tax was last increased by a penny to 7 cents per gallon in 1967. For a motorist driving 10,000 miles a year, averaging 15 miles per gallon, the added yearly cost would be $13.33. The added tax would yield about $40 million annually in additional revenue for the state of Minnesota. In other Minnesota news, a pipeline company official says preparation of an environmental impact statement on the planned remodeling of a petroleum products terminal in the Superior, Wisconsin harbor will delay the project and could halt it. The Army Corps of Engineers announced in St. Paul yesterday that it was reversing itself and now will file an impact statement before issuing Lakehead Pipeline Company a permit to dredge the Lake Superior harbor. A Corps spokesperson said preparation of a statement and a response will take 270 days, two-thirds of a year, and the statement will then be submitted to the Federal Council on Environmental Quality for final action. Lakehead had planned to have the terminal operating by the end of this summer. It seems kind of unlikely now. The company plans to ship more than 6 million barrels of refined petroleum annually to eastern Canada. The products are piped to Superior from Edmonton, Alberta. And Minnesota Senator Walter Mondale lunched with Canadian Prime Minister Pierre Elliott Trudeau yesterday to discuss Minnesota's energy problems. Mondale said his two-day visit to Canada was intended to promote a better understanding between the two countries on oil and natural gas supply problems. During his stay, Mondale also received a briefing on a new Canadian government policy that will gradually reduce oil exports to the United States. Canadian oil exports to the U.S. are scheduled to cease entirely by 1982. Mondale said he's concerned about the export cuts because Minnesota gets 80% of its oil supplies from Canada and has no other source because of the lack of alternative pipeline facilities. During his Ottawa meetings, Mondale outlined a proposal for an oil swap between the two countries, Canada getting U.S. oil on either the east or west coasts in exchange for continuing shipments to the upper Midwestern states. Mondale also said he'd suggested to the U.S. government that states such as Minnesota get priority on delivery of oil from Canada. Well, I had some news about Valentine's Day, but I think I'm going to save that for later. An explanation of how Valentine's Day started. And I know you don't give a damn, but it would kind of be neat to do that. But we're going to do it later, since I've read too much news already. In the weather, we should have a chance of light snow or snow flurries this morning and Friday through Saturday. Warmer tonight and the rest of today, with the low this morning around 5 above. High today, 18 degrees. Low Friday night, 12 degrees. And we should have a high Saturday in the middle 20s. Southeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour tonight, and southeast 10 to 15 miles per hour later on today. Probability of snow is 20%. This morning, 50% the rest of the day, and 60% Friday night. And at 2 o'clock, skies were cloudy, the humidity is 46%, winds are from the northeast at 7 miles per hour, and the temperature is minus 12 Celsius, or plus 11 Fahrenheit. And that's a look at news and weather. At this hour, it's 17 and a half minutes after 2 o'clock. I'm Kevin St. John, doing the news and weather. And we have a new album, Old and In the Way. It's a group consisting of Jerry Garcia, Vassar Clements, John Kahn, Peter Rowan, and David Grisman. And they do some great Western, country Western and bluegrass music. It was recorded live, I believe, in San Francisco, boarding house in San Francisco, back in October of 1973. So it was recorded quite a long time ago, and it's just being put out on Jerry Garcia's record label, Round Records, which is the kind of a sister label to Grateful Dead Records, out of San Rafael, California. So we're going to listen to a tune called The Hobo Song, Old and In the Way.
Too late to fear pain. I'm too late to fear pain. I'm too late to fear pain.
Get Down. That's some picking. Doc and Merle Watson. And that's from their latest album, 2 Days in November. A song called The Train That Carried My Girl From Town. And Doc and Merle Watson will be in concert tomorrow night and Saturday night. Well, I guess tonight and Saturday night, since this is Friday. But they did a couple concerts tonight at the Hole Coffee House, which I guess were really great. And all of those concerts are sold out, so you can't even go. But the people at the Hole Coffee House, nevertheless, would like to thank all of you, all of the people out there that made it possible for them to sell out 6 concerts of Doc and Merle Watson, and they hope that they can bring them back fairly soon so that more people will be able to see Doc and Merle Watson. They put on an incredible show, and if you didn't get tickets to see Doc and Merle Watson this weekend, consider yourself very unlucky, but also consider yourself one of many people who didn't get to see them, because the tickets sold out pretty fast. Doc and Merle. Before Doc and Merle Watson, we heard Michael Murphy with a song from his latest album, Blue Sky Night Thunder, Wild Bird. This Troubled Mind of Mine from Arlo Guthrie, and Hobo Song from Old and In the Way, Jerry Garcia and Vassar Clements and those people. It's 2:32. This is KQRS AM and FM from Golden Valley. 11 degrees outside, and here's somebody you might still be able to see in concert tonight. Johnny Winter.
You don't have to be a junkie or a groupie. Yeah, baby, you can be a friend of mine. Yes, baby, you can be a friend of mine. So, baby, you're just a time to try. Look out, brother, you're another sad animal.